This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out of hour number two, we are company live from our Quicken Loans studio, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently on this Monday. As we unpack it all, picking up the pieces, crazy stuff, Championship Sunday, insane. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. You and I are going to try to come up with a better solution for overtime, but I just saw this a little bit ago. I retweeted this. It's from our CBS Sports PR crew. Patch Chiefs is the second most watched AFC Championship game in 42 years.
Wow.
With 53.9 million viewers, up 27%. From last year's comparable window. I guess our records at CBS only go back to the 1977-78 season, but it makes it the second most watched AFC Championship game in 42 years, according to wow. Nielsen. 53.9 million viewers for the game is up 27% from last year. As I said, the comparable window, Minnesota-Philly. Patch Chiefs earned a fast national live plus same-day average household rating share of about 27.5/46, which is also up 27%. From last year's comparable window of the Vikings and the Eagles.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think a lot of it's because of the where the teams actually are. Right? You had a West Coast team and the NFC Championship game playing.
No, but this is just the
AFC. I know, okay. Playing in NFC, an East Coast team. Then you had, obviously, Boston and Kansas City. It's just disparate across the country, which makes it interesting. Mm-hmm. You find fans. I mean, there's Patriots fans, I'm sure, everywhere. Either they're bandwagoners or they're relocated or whatever it may be.
You think there's Patriots fans everywhere? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't feel that the way I feel Dallas or the Steelers or the Dallas Kansas City Chiefs or the Broncos.
Historical.
I don't feel that. I think the Raiders,
Dallas
the Niners.
Is historical, but I think there are.
I don't
there
feel
are,
that.
There are fans that like success, and if they're agnostic to a team,
yep.
They didn't grow up in New York or whatever.
Sure.
They're going to gravitate to the teams that have been successful. And they don't have that inbred or ingrained hate for the New England Patriots. Like, if you have a team that's already yours and you just are tired of seeing the Patriots always win.
Yeah, it's funny. If you asked me to, like, write down, like...
Like the national fandom teams...
Yeah.
You wouldn't put the Pats as one? I think I would.
Well, again...
They've had too much success not to have fans all over. You know what I mean?
I don't see it. And more of I don't see it. I don't hear it. You got to remember, like, if you take a sit, here's why I don't think so. You look around, just try to envision mm-hmm. the map here geographically, yep. right? So anything west of the Mississippi, mm-hmm. you know, you've got the Bronco fans, the Raider fans, the Niner fans, the Charger fans. I'm missing anybody there?
Not really.
Seattle Seahawk fans up in the Great Pacific
yeah.
Northwest.
But those are relatively new, Seattle Seahawks. I mean, as far as championship vibe, like they're hanging on because of the championships.
I got you. But I just like where – I guess I don't know where the
– Pats so fans before, would
like,
be.
Where would they infiltrate that wasn't already there?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about relocation. I'm talking about like you're from Boston. Like for instance – Now, my wife doesn't know anything about football.
Yep.
But she likes the Pats because Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And she met Tom, and he was great, and he was cute.
Mm-hmm. It's two good reasons, I guess.
Exactly.
Right?
And so she doesn't know a ton about football.
Mm-hmm.
But she loves Tom Brady.
Yeah, but she's not going to watch Tom Brady play. Like you,
but
I
she,
think of traveling.
I'm not talking about watching the game. I'm not talking about someone who's buying merchandise. I'm talking about someone who's turning on a TV
uh-huh.
and watching because you're talking about the rating. Turning on the TV and saying, "Oh, that's Tom Brady. That's the Pats." I think there's more people interested in the Pats than want to let on, right? Because even me, I don't love the New England Patriots. Even though I didn't play against them in the Super Bowls that the Giants ultimately win, I won. There's an appreciation that I have for the excellence that they portray
yeah.
and put out every single year. Right, the attention to detail and the precision with which they operate is commendable. Right, it may annoy the hell out of you, but you got to tip your cap when you tip your cap.
There's no question.
And so as a
immense
result,
respect. For
so as a result,
done.
I'll watch them.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not like rooting for them.
Okay, here's the taste test though. And we really don't know, but we can somewhat deduce where this is gonna go. 5 years from now, Belichick and Brady's probably going to be before that for sure, but they're both gone.
Yep.
All right. And they revert back to being the inept franchise that they were for so many years.
I don't know if that'll happen. But
yeah. What, about the Pats reverting or about them both being gone
about,
5 years?
About them reverting.
I say that flippantly. I hear. I mean, listen, they're incredible what they've done. And maybe they won't. Maybe they'll find some level of sustainability. But when Brady's gone and when Belichick is gone, you tell me there's a curiosity and an interest and a peaking of the Patriots like there are. Think about how bad the Raiders have been all these years. Raiders have lost no fans. That's where I think you and I are having two different conversations. Yeah. Does Brady's Q rating, has that permeated the average fringe fan? No doubt about it.
Yeah,
but has the Patriots' 20-year existence permeated the fandom of our country that makes them a fan base that travel?
There's a lot of kids that grew up that were, I don't know, 10. Maybe didn't have a team, or maybe just wanted to be contrary to their dad or brother or whatever it may be. Who are they going to pick? Oh, I'm going to take the team that's winning, right? And so they become a fan of the New England Patriots. That's why so many people are Dallas Cowboy fans, right? I grew up with Cowboys fans, and the Washington Redskins were 3 hours up the road, 2.5 hours up the road. Went to high school with these guys who were, like, diehard Cowboys fans.
No, we had them in my neighborhood, too.
And I'm like, what the heck?
I hear you.
What?
Dolphin fans.
And why?
I know.
Because they were winning.
Yeah.
And so there's a group of people who love the Patriots that aren't
because they're winning.
Because they've won.
I don't doubt that. I just don't think it's as powerful as the other fan base. I just don't feel that. And
maybe,
I don't even know that I'm
maybe,
right. I just
maybe
don't feel
it's
that.
Not as lasting as like those Cowboy fans.
Yeah, maybe that's the way to position it.
Now, you know, 15 years after the Cowboys have been like truly relevant.
Yep.
Maybe even longer, to be honest with you. Probably like 20 years since they've really been relevant. They're still Cowboys fans. You know what I mean?
Yo, so it's not like that's what I'm saying.
Not like they're
same
celebrating
with the Steelers,
championships.
Same with the Raiders.
You're right.
Same with the Niners.
You're right.
The mark they've left on the league is indelible.
It's indelible.
It's going to be the Tom Brady era. Right. It's going to be like the steroid era. The Tom Brady era. Steroids prevented certain people from winning championships. Tom Brady prevented certain people from winning championships.
I told BT this stat right before we started the show. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Brett Favre, Dan Marino all have 500 touchdowns in their career, and collectively they've been to 8 Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady has over 500 touchdowns. He's been to 9. We will go to 9 Super Bowls. These are like 4 of the best that ever were, right? If you're doing a Mount Rushmore, you're including those 4 in some capacity or another. And Tom Brady is better than them.
I have no more platitudes for this guy. He's just amazing.
It's unreal.
He's not human.
No, you're right.
And you know, this kind of seemed like you could read this on a moniker that you could put in your gym when you wake up, like you look in your mirror, you could have these words, like, because you've read this before. You know, some people, you know, despise losing more than they love winning. Yeah, and it seems kind of, well, it's cute. You know, let's get a T-shirt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But this guy actually breathes that mantra.
I think you're right.
He hates, he detests it.
He hates losing, and it's a good thing that he won the coin toss, BT, because that allowed him to win. How do we fix overtime in the National Football League?
Well, they're not going to fix it.
You can't do the college thing. You can't give the guy the ball at the 30, or because in the college, I think it's a 25. But you can't.
It is
you,
a 25. That's ridiculous.
You can't even say like the 40.
Not happening.
And go in, and like you get a shot, then you get a shot.
Nah.
You can't do that.
That's JV Lee. That's,
I agree.
You can't do that.
So how do you fix it?
I just think that you play 15 minutes. The hell's so hard about this?
Nothing, really. And it sounds
simple.
You play
15 minutes.
There's no reason to have sudden death, you're meaning.
Right? I hate sudden death.
I do,
I hate
too. Because it doesn't give the other team a chance.
I hate it.
Now, if you're good enough, and even if you leave it at 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
let's just say just for expediency's sake, so we don't get into CBS's evening programming when we play it.
And by the way, I'm flexible on the
actual
chunk of time.
Agreed. So if you, let's just say it stays 10 minutes, because they legislated that a couple years ago. And you're good enough. The New England Patriots are good enough to, just like they did on the opening drive, go 8.5. Let's say they go 9.5 minutes and just kick a field goal. And then the Kansas City Chiefs have 1.5 minutes or 30 seconds to go down and score before the game's over. Tough.
Yep.
But that would fix it.
Yes,
at least
I agree.
It would feel like you have a chance.
Yes.
Right? As soon as that coin flipped, they said heads, you know, you won the toss. I said game's over.
Mm-hmm.
I almost didn't have to watch it. I knew the game was going to be over.
But you knew you had to because you can't miss greatness.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, you
of
had
course.
To.
I had to see how it happened.
That seems to be, you know, the most direct route to a solution
and
that we could
change.
Probably all agree upon.
And it doesn't change anything.
Yeah,
it doesn't change,
change much.
No. Right. And most of these overtimes go to 10 minutes anyways, or about 10 minutes, mm-hmm. nine and a half, nine. This one went, what, eight or so or something like that, whatever it was. I think that works because it's simple.
I do too.
And it's like every other sport that has to go into overtime. Like basketball, you go into overtime, play another quarter. And it's not a full quarter. You play another quarter.
Yeah.
Right? Another period. And that way both sides get equal opportunity to shine or not shine.
And by the way, it's not always going to be equitable. Like the way you just outlined it, let's say it's going to stick with 10 minutes and Team X has an 8 minute and 53 second drive. So yep. you basically have a minute and 7 seconds yep. left to do whatever, whether it's a field goal
yeah.
to match it or a touchdown.
It's even
to
better if they kick a field goal and the other team gets a minute and 10 seconds and they go and score a touchdown.
Yeah, I know.
They
I know.
Win.
But even so, that's not equitable in terms of distribution of time. Yeah. And that's fair. And that's I'm just pointing out some obvious points here. But that's not different than other sports.
True.
Because if you're the home team in baseball, you know what? If I cross their run and it's 4-4. Boom, a double in the gap. My guy scores from first base. I win 5-4.
Yeah.
Game's over.
The question is,
not always equitable.
What happens if you tie again, though? That's the only issue.
Well, then maybe you just keep truncating or condensing the additional session. So that's why I would say start at 15.
Yeah.
For games that are of playoff caliber.
Yeah.
Wild card, divisional, conference yeah. championship, Super Bowl. 15.
Regular season?
15. Forget about regular season.
Keep it like it is.
I have no problem with that.
I actually don't mind the ties in the regular season because it creates some drama.
It does, actually.
For like seeding.
Yeah,
or,
it does.
Damn, you shouldn't. If you would have won that game as opposed to tying it, you'd be in the postseason right now.
No problem
Pittsburgh
with that.
Steelers.
You've got to preserve. I know. You got to preserve the bodies. It's a long 4.5 month season. Yeah. It's a long journey. I got that. Get out of Dodge Way as soon as you can.
Yeah. It's what the NHL does.
Exactly. Right? But with the right to go to the Super Bowl or the games before mm-hmm. that and advance a legacy or, deliver something for a city, I don't understand how the most popular sport in North America cannot have a more defined set of rules, or at least rules that we could all agree upon are somewhat fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
But it's got to be somewhat fair.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Yeah. And the problem is people will say, well, the Kansas City Chiefs should have stopped Tom Brady.
I can't stand those tweets.
They had a shot. He had him in 3rd and 10 three times, or maybe it was 4th. I think it was 3 times. Whatever. They had him 3rd and long. It should have just made the stops. But it's Tom Brady.
And deeper net, the rules are geared to the offense.
Agreed.
So when I get these mindless tweets like we got a bunch, just stop them, whether it's Brady or somebody else. Yeah, that's very simple in terms of a tweet or a radio discussion, but in terms of applying it to a football field
yep.
in the year 2019 with every rule tilted toward the offense, good luck trying to stop them.
You're right.
I mean, you can elbow a guy at yard number 6 and it's 3rd and 13. First down, illegal contact. Yeah. Boom. I mean, it's not right. It's, I'm so disappointed.
The only problem.
And not just because the Pats are going back there. I've got immense respect for them. I need to say that. I have my fun with the Pats. Yeah, the Deflategate, they cheat, this, that, whatever. They are everything I wish that my football team was.
Just so everybody knows.
The
problem
that.
Is, do you think the Saints think that the rules are geared towards the offense?
What do you mean?
The Saints, because they didn't get the call.
Yeah.
I mean. Defenseless
Isn't that
receiver.
The confounding nature of the NFL?
Of course.
Just make this impassioned play, and then you bring up one example that completely contradicts it.
But it is
the same day.
But is it an egregious example, which I will keep using that word because it's so confounding. It's beyond explanation.
Man,
it truly is beyond explanation.
It probably shouldn't have taken an hour and 16 minutes and 21 seconds here to say this, but the Super Bowl matchup is going to be awesome.
Oh, I think so.
I mean, once we sift through all this stuff that we have to sit, and we're not done sifting through it, but Super Bowl 53 is going to be phenomenal.
Quickly on the line.
Yeah.
It's -2, Pats.
It started as a pick 'em. I'm sorry. It started as Pats -3. The Sharps quickly bet it up, dropped it down to a pick 'em.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is right now.
I just looked. It was -2.
Pats -2?
-2.
So it's gone. It's flipped 5 points in 7 or 8 hours?
It's currently sitting at whatever. I was literally just looking at it.
That's a lot of line movement.
New England -2, 57.5.
New England -2. Wow. Over under 57.5, huh?
Okay.
Gotta start. We got to start processing. The, you know, on to the next one. What did Belichick say? On to Cincinnati.
Yep.
On to the next spread.
On to the Super Bowl.
All right. 855-212-4227. Deion Branch, former Pats wideout, Super Bowl 39 MVP. He'll join us. This is how long ago, but this is how long Brady. He played with Brady. We'll talk to him coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
The right hire can really make an impact on your business. I remember when we were hiring for my startup company, Thuzio, having the right profile and business background of our applicants was of paramount importance. Now, you can post a job to a job board and hope that you'll find the right person for that job. But think about it. How often do you check job boards? 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, and yet most are not visiting job boards. So you can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insights from their behavior on LinkedIn and rich profile data you can't find on a resume, like their skills, recommendations, interests, even how open they are to a new opportunity like yours. So your job gets in front of the right people. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business. Hurry to LinkedIn.com/Tiki and get $50 off your first job post right now. That's LinkedIn.com/Tiki to save $50. LinkedIn.com/Tiki. Terms and conditions apply.
All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. I think I come back from every break saying the same thing. Just a wild, wacky Sunday. I don't know how else to frame it. It was crazy.
It really was.
It's crazy good, crazy confounding, crazy everything. And see, this was pretty crazy because this was the start of the Pats dynasty. The origins, the early days, Deion Branch, of course, former wideout. He won the Super Bowl back in Super Bowl, he won the MVP and, of course, the Super Bowl. But he won the MVP back in Super Bowl 39. And he knows all about the legend of Brady and Belichick and everything that the franchise does. And I'm sure he's got some strong takes and reaction to what transpired yesterday as the Pats get ready for Super Bowl 53 against the Rams. Deion Branch is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Deion, how you doing today?
Hey man, thank you for having me. Excuse if you can hear the talky talky in the background. I was taking my daughter to gymnastics.
Oh, that's awesome! Nice,
that's awesome. How old is she?
Oh yeah, she's 10, man. She's 10, doing a great job, man.
She's
phenomenal.
I was gonna say, Deion, if she's doing gymnastics at 10, then she because at 5 and 6, it's like just doing something for fun. But if you're doing it to 10, that means you're actually good at it.
Yes, sir.
Like you keep with it.
Hey man. I'm a very proud father, man.
That's awesome. Nice. That's awesome. As long as she's got your athletic ability and success and follows in your success, then she'll be just fine. Deion, we know about the success of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, but BT was just telling the story that right before the game, on the walkthrough on Sunday morning,
11 a.m.,
they come in and they're like, we're going to try to put in like 3 or 4 new plays.
Eight
new plays, and we're going to call a few of them in the game. Yeah, how common is that with this offensive staff? Because it feels like no matter what happens inside of a game, they're always prepared. And I think that ability to do stuff like that is one of the reasons why.
Yes. It just preaches to the hard work that these guys put in each and every day. Leading up to the game, I mean, it's never over. Preparation is always ongoing. The entire week of the couple hours before the game, just trying to find that extra edge that you can – where can I sneak this play in or these 2 or 3 plays in at during the course of this game or something that one of the coaches had probably seen maybe a couple hours before the game. That's a norm. It's nothing uncommon. Speaking of those Super Bowls that I was a part of.
Yeah.
We installed maybe about 4 or 5 plays right before the game. Some stuff we worked on week 6, one of the receivers coaches walk in and like, hey, we're going to probably run these 3 or 4 plays at some point during the game.
Yeah.
So look at them and that's it. And, we go over so much stuff during the week of the game that it's a norm for the players.
Yeah.
Most of the guys are aware of some of the things. We've been working on those plays during that week. and it's just in the back of our membrane.
Yeah.
So it's a norm for that to happen.
Yeah, you know, let me ask you this deal, Dion, because we know that the expectation of Tom and Coach Belichick is do your job, be prepared. But from someone who's gone through this, and it was years ago, it's crazy how long ago it's been, and Tom is still here. How much pressure is that on you as a player to be like, man, these guys got this all down and they got it in their head, and I can't mess this up because they're expecting me to, as they always say, you guys always say, do my job. How hard is that?
Well, you know, honestly, TC, man, the thing is once you're brought into that organization, the expectation is for you to actually fall in the line. Get in line and understand this is what we're expecting each and every last player to do on the field, off the field. From the owners expect this from the coaches, from the head coach expect that from the position coaches, the coaches expect that from the players, so on and so forth. It's just not Bill and Tom, we're expecting those guys to do X, Y, Z. It's the first man on the roster to the last guy who's on practice squad. Even those guys are expected to know exactly what they're supposed to do if they get called up, i.e. The situation that panned out back in 2011. You know, at the Super Bowl, we had one of the guys who were brought up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what happens within the organization. You never know when your number is called and it's time for you to perform. So I think from the guys, the Philip Dorsett, the guys who may catch one pass in the game, up to Julian Edelman, man. I mean, your job, we expected you to make this play at this particular time during the course of the game when your number's called. And so, it's just not Tom and Coach Belichick, man, I think. And it started with Coach Belichick. You know, he walks into the meeting, and this is what it is, and everybody got to get it. And that's just the ball game. And if you don't get it, you won't be that long.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm. It's the rules. Check the ego at the door, or we check you out.
Hey, we saw Chad Johnson, who was a hell of a wide receiver, come in and out real quick.
You get what I'm saying? It's a very short stint for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
You see so many guys that come through that organization who has the potential to be all of this and all of that, but then just never fits.
Yeah.
Just never mesh. And that happens. That happens.
So we're talking to Dion Branch, of course, 11 years in the NFL, Pat, Seattle, Super Bowl champ, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. I don't know if you felt the same thing, and maybe you didn't because you know the inner workings of the organization, and maybe you just can kind of sense something we couldn't. Most of us from the outside looking in sensed that this Pats team was just less potent and not as good as Patriot teams.
Right.
The Pat Gronk looked old. Brady's third down conversion rate wasn't great. Were we missing something? Were they kind of just playing possum, or did you expect them to do this? Because I didn't.
Well, I don't think you're missing it. This is just the expectation. Once every year, this happens. Just about every year, you know, we start slow for whatever reason, you know. But once the season, once we get going, and then towards the end, just always know this: the Patriots will be there in the end. Just always know that. I think that's one thing that has been a norm with that organization. They will be there when it counts. And that's what it's been for years. I mean, we're talking, two decades now.
Yeah.
It's been the same thing. You know, we start slow for whatever reason. That happens, and Coach Belichick is on the guys, on us, when I was there, about this fast start. And for some reason, we just go out and kind of spot guys maybe 2-3 games, and then we get going. You know, whether it be a whole bunch of personnel shifting and things of that nature. But overall, I just think a lot of the, you know, a lot of the media just kind of, I think everybody's just ready for a little change, and I don't think we're ready for that in New England yet.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
You all know. I mean, you all did that for a minute. We had problems with the Giants.
Yep.
And you know, but we're right back in the thick of things again.
Yeah.
I just think everybody's just ready for change, and I don't think the guys are ready yet.
Yeah. No, I don't
think we still got more work to do.
I don't think it's happening. And a lot of that success comes from the position that you used to play. I mean, David Patton came there. He was with us for a little bit. And then it was Troy Brown. Then you filled this role. Then Wes Welker filled this role. And now Julian Edelman fills this role. This slot receiver who has to do so much. Right, there's so much as task of you, whether it's, you know, blocking downfield or making the critical third down catch or making a big play. How has this offense been able to utilize it, and why is Tom so dependent upon the slot receiver, where it seems like other quarterbacks, like, I need my stretch guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or I need my for you guys, just the slot receiver.
Yeah, and it's always been the interior guy. You know, the guys outside will make their plays when in due time. You know, they come through and make them at the right time, i.e., just like Phillip yesterday.
Yeah.
One catch, touchdown. You follow me?
Yeah.
It was set up perfect for him. And he came through for the team when it was needed. But throughout the most of the game, you know, it was working from Gronk to Julian. And here's the dark card. James White.
Yep, out of the backfield.
You know what I'm saying? And if you really think about it, Tiki, you would know this, and Brandon, I'm sure you know as well, our dark horse back in the days was Kevin Faulk.
He was terrific on third down.
You're
Kevin
right.
Faulk was a beast.
So, yes, that's the nucleus of our offense. You know, you never fall asleep on the guys on the outside. I.e., you remember the era with Randy Moss when Tom and Moss lit it up, but Wiss was still doing his thing in the interior.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Yeah.
But that dark horse, James White, to Gronk, to doing it. You know, it's like a triangle. You work from the backfield to the slot to the tight end on the opposite side. So that happens, and time to time the guys on the outside will make their plays as well.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, overall, working that thing, it's game by game.
Yeah.
You know, this may be a game in the Super Bowl where James White has been notorious for catching 10 to 12 catches, receptions a game.
Yeah.
He may have six this game, and it may be Gronk now. Gronk may be the guy next, you know, in 2 weeks. Or it may be Julian, you know, or it may be someone on the outside. Who knows? You know, but at some point, each and everybody will have that opportunity within the game plan. You'll notice that the week of the game. You know, guys can kind of sense, okay, this might be a pretty good game.
Yeah, you're making me feel, you know, Dion, you're talking about the triangle. You're making me think, you know, Bill Belichick's channeling, or Josh McDaniels is channeling his inner Phil Jackson.
Hey, that is that triangle, man.
Hey,
I've been in a minute. And guys are working it, man. We're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, yep. You see it.
You know, I'm curious. We ran down all those names here, slot receivers of the past. On their best day, maybe you're a little biased. I'm sure you might be. But who do you think was better, Wes Welker or Edelman?
On their best day?
Yep. Say you, Dion.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not included.
We'll take him out of it.
About 50-50. They worked me in the slot, and I was on the outside of the line.
Yeah.
You know, a lot more than Julian and West.
Yeah.
You know, it's different. You look at it where if Julian is somewhat like myself. They use him in the interior a lot, but he's on the outside a lot as well.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is they're trying to make sure that they're going to double team with certain guys, and Josh is doing a great job of moving him around a lot. If you notice where he's located, pre-snap and then post-snap, a lot of times he's boosted in to kind of throw the defense off a little bit somewhat. But West was mainly in just a slot, I'll just say. I'm a Julian, just a slot guy completely.
Yeah.
He's all over the place, to be honest.
Yeah.
1 minute he may be at the one, he may be at the two, and then he may be at the three, right next to Gronk.
Gotcha.
You know, so it's sort of weird. But West was a man amongst boys in that slot.
Yeah.
Did his thing. One of the things I will say with Julian, his yak yards are impressive.
Yeah.
You know, when his brother gets the ball, Liberal tries to score every time.
He runs over people.
Yeah, you're right.
He does.
And I'm always talking to Julian, now listen, man, we need you to play the entire game. All these tackles, man.
You're right. Stop fighting them concussions.
Three, four guys.
Stop fighting them concussions.
Exactly. You need to take on that, man. Catch the ball, get the 15 yards. I understand that this is one-on-one.
Yeah.
But, Julian, one against three? Come on, man.
All right, save yourself a little bit. Save something for the Super Bowl. Hey, Dion, we're up against it, but we wanted to get you on. Always good to get you on the show. You've been on with us before. Go and go get your little princess off to gymnastics class. And hey, thanks for carving out time, man.
Thank you, fellas.
Appreciate you, Dion.
You got it. Dion Branch, of course, former Pats wideout. Apologize. It was kind of going in and out a little bit. If it wasn't the best audio quality, if it got a little worse, we were going to clip it, but we tried to fight through
it. Time it is.
It was okay. Yeah. And I think we were pretty much able to hear what he said, but we apologize for that. So we'll get the update from Ack. We got inbounds, out of bounds right after that. Here's Ack coming at you. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up. First up, doing more, brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. everything you need to do. Project Smarter. It's the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. We take a look at somebody who did a whole lot for his team, and it may not have reflected in the stat sheet in terms of the gaudy numbers that Sony Michel had. But how about Pats running back Rex Burkhead, who obviously got loose last couple of touchdowns, a four-yard run that put him up 31-28, with 39 seconds to go in regulation. Of course, the two-yard run to seal it in overtime. So, again, Michelle's numbers looked a lot better. They were, but in terms of getting through and scoring touchdowns, Burkhead coming up big for the Pats. All right, 44 minutes past the hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. And, you know, listen, I think that there's Patriots fatigue. We know that.
Of course
we know that. We know that.
Yes.
But I think it's partially offset by the fact that it's the Rams who they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new opponent. It's a different vibe. It's a different scene. It's a different feel.
You feel the dichotomy and the coaching.
Right.
And the experience of the Patriots versus the relative inexperience, even though there are a couple guys on the Rams who have Super Bowl rings with other teams.
Yep.
It just feels like two teams, one like trying to cap off the dynasty and the other one trying to build one, because how the Rams really went after it this offseason, right, with all the acquisitions.
Yeah.
And
that's worked.
Hell,
rarely
you go back,
works.
You go back a year before, the acquisition of the head coach, and mm-hmm. then what they're doing is it's pretty unique, because it usually doesn't work, right? When you have to start over, brand new, crappy season, fire your coach, get a new head coach, new location, new fan base. 2 years later in the Super Bowl? I mean, I don't know if we've seen that ever, which is pretty amazing and spectacular. And hats off to the Rams for how the success that they've had in such a very short time.
No doubt. They've carved out a real niche. I mean, that goes without saying, but they're just smart. They're forward thinking. They are... You know, I think there's certain plays underachieved a bit this year. We've talked about it throughout mm-hmm. the regular season. But, you know, when it was time to show up and play, you saw a renewed grit. You know, really, Dominican Sue showed this a different passion that kind of,
yep.
you know, goes fluctuates well, on occasion with him. Let's put it that way.
At some point, you get to a spot in your career where you start saying,
hey, it's time to win.
I have to win.
Uh-huh.
I have a couple more years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's
the light goes on.
You're right.
All right.
You're right. The urgency happens.
You ready for Inbounds Out of Bounds?
Yep, let's hit it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, taking a potentially explosive report on PhillyVoice.com. Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz has been described by more than half a dozen anonymous teammates. I know you love the anonymous Yo-ho. Aspect, quote. Selfish, uncompromising, egotistical.
Wow.
I didn't sense that at all from
no.
a distance. All
no.
right, but we're not there. He was reportedly verbally berated by a teammate for, quote, not being a team guy, and allegedly fails to, quote, take accountability. Not good looks for a quarterback, for sure.
I wonder if this guy is still on the team or someone who's not on the team.
We'll get answers before we don't, I'm sure.
Yeah.
One person said, quote, he's had his ass kissed his whole life and sometimes acts like he's won 10 Super Bowls. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to see how differently this team plays and reacts with one guy as opposed to the other. Now, that's an end quote. That makes you think a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you can actually see it.
That actually has some validity.
Yes, it does. Since the report came out, several Eagle players, Zach Ertz, Fletcher Cox, Lane Johnson as well, they responded. They blasted it, saying he's a great leader. Basically refuted the entire thing. In or out, the Eagles should exercise Nick Foles' $20 million option and keep him around next season.
It's out of bounds, BT. I think Carson Wentz is the future of the Philadelphia Eagles. Nick Foles has this magical ability with the Philadelphia Eagles. I can't say he's going to have that elsewhere, but he has it with the Eagles. I think it's his calmness and his ability to think through things in critical moments mm-hmm. that allow him to be successful. But I think his cap number is just punitive, especially with combined with Carson Wentz's cap number. You can't have 40-something or close to $40 million for one position.
Now, this one's easy. I didn't have to really give this much thought. Completely out of bounds. Even if there was real truth
yeah.
to what was being said here, which, again, when players like Fletcher Cox and Zach Ertz and Lane Johnson come out and refuted this, I'm yeah. going to have to side with them. Those are real team leaders there. You know, but even if it was true, Carson Wentz is still talented enough. I know he's a little bit injury-prone, but he's really young. And Tiki's right. I mean, sometimes youth or – you can kind of get that ugly mix of inexperience that could be, you know, almost looked upon as cockiness or arrogance.
Exactly.
I don't get it from Carson Wentz. Now, again, we're not there every day, but he does not project that to me, nor you. And even if that was the case, it's just not financially palatable to have both of these guys, 1 and 2, on the depth chart.
Yeah, and you're not cutting the first round pick.
There's no way you're doing that.
Yeah.
And if you traded him, now if you wanted to look into that, which I wouldn't necessarily do, maybe that's – but that would be better than exercising Nick Foles' $20 million option.
Yep.
If you wanted to try to trade Carson Wentz, if it was that big of an issue. But no, he's the future, out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Boogie's back, and Boogie's back in a big way. Boogie played well. Made as much awaited, didn't play long. Warriors debut Friday night against the Clippers. Just 15 minutes, but I'll tell you what, he peppered the stat sheet. He scored 14 points. He had 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block, all while picking up 6 fouls. Boogie was a little feisty and active. That's right. Boogie fouled out in just 15 minutes, which is nuts. Yet the Warriors blew out the Clippers 112-94. In or out, Teak, the DeMarcus Cousins experiment in Golden State is going to work.
I think it's going to work, BT, because even if he gets little minutes like that, he makes a difference because he's a stretch center, and there's not many of them. Brook Lopez is one. He's done a really good job of expanding his shot and standing out on the perimeter. I think he's only shooting about 32% or so, but at least it's a threat.
Yep.
Boogie's a big dude. And he's aggressive, and he's got a big body.
Yep.
And so not only is he able to play around the perimeter, he dominates in the post because there's not any big centers anymore. So absolutely, this is going to work.
I totally agree. 100% inbounds. He's a skilled player, and you nailed it. His physical attributes and maybe even more directly his edge, his attitude, where he's coming from. Number one, he wants to get paid big time.
Yep.
So he's got, you know, he's going to be
he's making bupkis right now.
Making $5 million a year. it's a relative joke to compare to his peers. So he's trying to get paid. He's trying to show the rest of the league that he's right, that he's healthy. He's trying to win his first championship. There's a lot of reasons to think that he's going to remain motivated. And, you know, there's just a nastiness there that for a team that's been so good for so long, there's a desperation. There's that edge that I think is going to infiltrate that locker room and really serve as a nice galvanizing force. And here's the other thing from a schematic point of view. At 7'1", right? Again, he can step out and shoot the three-pointers, no doubt. He could also isolate him in the post, and he could do damage. But what I love about him, he's a pretty good passer.
Yeah.
You throw him foul line extended, right? And he's so big, he could put it over his head, and he could anybody on the perimeter. Oh, look. Wow, there's Klay Thompson in the corner, wide open. Oh, look, there's Durant. Oh, look, there's Steph Curry. Boom, wide open. Huge asset, and Kerr will use him the right way.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. Tiki's Cavaliers came up a little short. No crime. I mean, losing at Duke or to Duke and at Duke is not a big deal, but you had to lose at some point, Tiki.
Yeah.
You had to lose first time of the year. Tight 72-70 contest in Durham. I watched a good chunk of this game. Now, thanks to number 2 Michigan's 10-point loss at Wisconsin, which is a big surprise there.
Yeah.
There are no unbeaten teams left in college hoops, allowing Tennessee. Is Bernard King, the Ernie and Bernie show, they still playing there? or Allen Houston to vault to the number 1 slot, followed by Duke, aforementioned Virginia, Gonzaga, and Michigan as well. Now, the Vols are led by junior Grant Williams and senior Admiral Schofield. They beat Louisville, who were pretty good with Chris Mack there. We know that. The Zags, who wore number 1 for a while, then Memphis with Penny, but they fell to Kansas on the neutral court. In or out? This is a tough one to answer. I don't know where you're going to go, although your heart will probably take over.
Uh-huh.
The Volunteers are the best team in the country.
Out of bounds, BT. There isn't a best team in the country.
That's a good answer.
Every team has a vulnerability. Like, my Cavaliers, I think some of those guys were just shell-shocked playing. You could just feel it. Like, because I watched it from tip to end. It's like you just felt like this, I don't know, this overwhelmingness.
What an atmosphere.
It was unbelievable.
Yep.
Kudos, Duke fans. And I mean, it's always that way.
Yeah.
But to lose by 2, they showed some vulnerability, but they can win anywhere. Same thing can be said for Kansas. Same thing can be said for Duke. But they also could lose against some of these top teams. So I think there isn't a top team in basketball right now.
You know, I think that's a smart way to approach it because, you know, with so many freshmen, and here we are just about halfway through the season, number one, they're starting to hit the wall a little bit.
Yep.
So you've got to understand that there's going to be a bit of a reset at some juncture, and coaches have to be smart because it's a big transition from high school to college. That's part of it. The other thing, though, my answer is out of bounds. Let me say that. But I also do think that it's unwise to, not that you did this, but some who might not associate Tennessee as a basketball school right now. I get it. They're not Duke or Kansas or Virginia. I understand that. Or even Gonzaga. But last year, they were 26-9. They did have 13 wins in the SEC. They won their first round matchup by 30-something points. And by the way, they lost by a point to Sister Jean in Loyola Chicago, which just kept winning. So they lost to a team that was senior-laden, or actually a lot of juniors on that Chicago team, Loyola. And, you know, Sister Jean, with her blessings, nobody was beating that team, really, except at the end. So
yeah.
I think Tennessee is legit. Wouldn't surprise me if they get to a Final Four.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me if they get knocked out in the Sweet 16.
You're right.
Flip a coin.
Rick Barnes, the head coach, has got to watch out for his Twitter fights.
Little Penny might come down. Tyra Banks is going to jump in pretty
exactly.
soon. You got the party going on at Penny's crib.
Right.
That must have been a good scene, huh?
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
I think we got to take more calls, Teak. I think we got to get back to the phones, get back to all the different parts of the game, the surprises, not just the bad calls, not just to beat overtime rules or the non-pass interference to a bloody pulp. There were probably 12 to 15 plays combined that really we got to get into a little bit deeper.
We also have to dig into Marcus Peters' comments. He said Coach Payton was the reason.
Saw that little shade. Third hour coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.